Hello and welcome to Arxiv LLM Daily EN. This is the show where we look at a new Arxiv paper every day and try to keep up with the ridiculous speed of AI innovation, but in a way that stays practical. Today we're looking at a workflow for full traceability of AI decisions, an Arxiv paper that proposes a concrete workflow and tooling so AI decisions are fully traceable for audits, debugging, and compliance. Mark will look at it from the field, real-world usage.
Jamie will look at the AI and technical side. The key question for today, concretely, what's the use of what they're proposing, and what need does it meet right now? Mark, let's start with what need you're actually seeing on the ground.
In real life, the pain shows up in three places. First, audits. If you're in finance, healthcare, or HR, someone will ask, why did the model say this? And you need the evidence, the exact prompt, the documents it pulled, the model version, and who approved it. Second, debugging. When a model hallucinates or flips behavior after an update, you want to replay the decision and compare runs, not guess in the dark. And third, product trust. Support agents and PMs won't rely on an AI suggestion they can't verify. The first time I tried to investigate a bad answer, we had logs in three tools, no common ID, and no way to see what the model actually saw. It took hours. What teams want is a single trace you can open, show to legal, and use to reproduce the exact decision path in minutes, not days.
So if I sum that up, teams need a clean paper trail for each AI answer, down to the prompt, the retrieved context, the model version, to pass audits, fix issues faster, and rebuild trust with users. Jamie, from the AI side, why is this kind of approach showing up now?
What we're actually dealing with is scale and complexity. LLMs have moved from a single prototype to dozens of workflows, retrieval, augmented generation, tool calls, even multi-agent chains. Each hop hides part of the decision. On top of that, third-party models are black boxes. Outputs are stochastic unless you log seeds and settings, and retrieval changes day to day as your index updates. That makes reproducing a past answer hard and risky. The cost of failure has also gone up. A wrong answer can mean refunds, SLA penalties, or regulatory exposure. From an ops perspective, we already instrument services for observability and lineage. We just haven't done it consistently for AI decisions. That's why a formal traceability workflow is appearing now. Standardizing what gets logged, tying artifacts together with IDs, and making it cheap to replay an exact decision path when something breaks or an auditor asks why. At the core, the paper proposes a standardized trace object and a lightweight workflow to capture every decision artifact end to end. Concretely, each AI answer gets a unique trace ID that follows it through the stack. The trace stores the raw user request, the exact prompt template plus filled variables, the full context window snapshot, retrieval queries, and the documents returned with IDs and hashes, any intermediate chain of thought or scratchpad signals the system emits, tool calls and their inputs, outputs, the model family and version, hyperparameters like temperature, top P, seed, stop tokens, guardrail filters triggered, and the final output with post-processing. It plugs in three places, a notebook extension for development, wrappers around orchestration layers and agents in production, and an ingestion pipeline that writes structured logs into a data store with a replay-friendly schema and a viewer UI. Compared to ad hoc logs or black box explainability after the fact, this is about first-class, linked, replayable evidence by design rather than guesswork later.
Basically, it's a proper case file for each AI answer. Everything the model saw and did, plus which version and settings, saved in one place with a single ID so you can replay it. Mark, in practice, what would that change day to day?
What usually happens today is you chase three dashboards to understand one output. With this, you open one trace and you're done. Engineers can hit replay with the same seed to see if the bug reproduces. Product or legal can scan the retrieved docs, see the exact prompt, and check who approved the result. Investigations go from hours to minutes because the evidence is collected at the moment of inference, not rebuilt later. For non-technical reviewers, the UI matters. Collapsible sections for sources, prompts, and tool calls, plus a simple why did we say this summary. And critically, you can attach the trace to a ticket or export a PDF for compliance, which cuts back and forth emails dramatically.
If we applied it in a real team, Mark, what would it look like?
Simple case, a customer support copilot. Each suggested reply shows a small badge, trace available. A support lead clicks it and sees the KB articles retrieved with permalinks and hashes, the prompt block that shaped the answer, the model version and temperature, and a confidence score or guardrail flags, if any. If the answer looks off, they can send the trace to the engineering channel with one click. For quality reviews, a PM samples 50 traces weekly, filters by topic or flag, and quickly spots where the retrieval index is stale or the prompt overfits a format. It builds trust because agents can verify the source before hitting send.
So that's the day-to-day support use, a clickable why behind every suggestion, easy to audit and escalate. Let's push it further. Mark, describe a more advanced pipeline, say in finance or healthcare, with multiple steps and a human in the loop.
Take a loan eligibility workflow. Step 1, rag over internal policy manuals. Step 2, call a KYC API and a pricing calculator tool. Step 3, the model drafts a summary note and a compliance officer approves or edits. Step 4, a final letter is generated for the customer. When something goes wrong, for example, the pricing seems off, the trace shows the retrieval queries and which policy version was used. The exact KYC API request response, the pricing tool inputs outputs, the model version for each step, and the human-in-the-loop decision with a timestamp. You can see the whole chain in one graph and pinpoint that, say, the pricing tool used an outdated parameter set.
Mechanically, the stitching works by propagating the same trace ID across components and writing spans, one per step, into the trace. Each span carries artifact identities, content hashes for documents, semantic version strings for prompts, model build IDs, and index versions. The paper automates the capture where it's deterministic. Prompts, context snapshots, tool call IO, model settings, via wrappers around the LLM and tool executor. It leaves a few pieces intentionally manual, annotating human decisions, adding business rationale tags, and mapping traces to formal policy rules. The viewer reconstructs the DAG so you can traverse from the final letter back to the original retrievals and tools. If a closed third-party API is used, you still log the request, metadata, and output, even if you can't see inside the provider.
Put differently, one ID glues the whole journey together, the system logs the machine steps automatically, and people add the human decisions on top. Jamie, does this require heavy new infrastructure, or is it mostly adapters on existing orchestrators and logs?
Mostly adapters. You wrap your LLM and tool invocations, ensure the trace ID flows through your message bus or HTTP headers, and stream structured events into your existing data store with the provided schema. The paper assumes a lightweight viewer on top for replay. The big change is discipline. Version your prompts and indexes, and treat the trace as the source of truth for debugging and audits.
Got it. Mark, last quick thought on implications for teams before we move on later to limits and results.
Two quick ones. First, adoption goes up when traces are visible where people work, in the support console or the compliance inbox, not buried in an engineering tool. Second, make attach the trace the default in every escalation. Once that muscle forms, investigations and sign-offs speed up noticeably.
Under the hood, you need three things to make this work. First, instrumentation. Wrap every LLM and tool call so you log the exact prompt variables, the full context window snapshot, retrieval queries and hits, model version, and sampling settings. If you want near deterministic replays, record RNG seeds where the provider allows it. Otherwise, lock temperatures low and log log probs. Second, identity and storage. Propagate a trace ID through headers or your message bus, hash every artifact, and write structured events into a backing store with a schema. Think columnar DB or object storage with Parquet plus a lightweight viewer. Third, discipline. Version prompts and indexes like code so the trace references stable artifacts. Constraints. Full context snapshots can be large, so compress or chunk them. Synchronous logging adds latency, usually single-digit percent, but P95 can creep up, so stream asynchronously where possible. Limits. Closed third-party models hide internals. You'll log inputs, outputs, and settings, not attention maps or latent states. And some APIs don't expose seeds. Privacy matters. Traces can contain PII, so you need redaction and data local routing. Future work the paper calls out, a standard trace format akin to OpenTelemetry for AI, automatic summarization of long traces, and first-class integration with governance tools for policy checks and approvals.
Basically, wire up adapters so every step leaves breadcrumbs, agree on names and versions so those crumbs mean something, and pick a storage plan that can handle lots of small structured events. Expect a little more CPU, I/O, and latency, and know you'll hit walls with closed APIs and privacy rules unless you add redaction and keep data local. Mark, on the people and process side, what has to change for this to stick?
What usually trips teams up isn't the code, it's hygiene. You need prompt and index versioning with real names, not final V3. You need access policies, who can view raw traces versus redacted ones, and a default redaction profile so PII isn't sprayed around. Reviewer training helps a lot. Teach legal or support leads how to read a trace and what good looks like. Friction I've seen. Folks skip traces during fire drills, load tests run with logging off, and you lose evidence. Storage grows messy without retention rules, and permissioning across ang legal slows reviews. Minimum pilot. Pick one workflow, turn on tracing end-to-end, set 90-day retention, enable click to export for compliance, and make attach the trace mandatory in every escalation template. After 2 weeks, you'll know which parts need more automation.
Great. Jamie, what do the authors report in terms of results, benchmarks, metrics, and the trade-offs?
They evaluate on two setups, a simulated enterprise QA set, about a few thousand queries with RAG and tool calls, and a synthetic audit scenario where reviewers have to justify model answers. Versus baselines of ad hoc logs or no tracing, the workflow cut median time to trace from roughly 35 to 40 minutes to about 5 to 7 minutes. Replay success, meaning you can reproduce the same decision path with the stored artifacts. Went from 40% to above 90% when context snapshots and versioned prompts were included. In the audit task, an auditability score that combines source coverage and decision justification jumped by 25 to 30 points. They also show a practical outcome, teams using the traces fixed retrieval issues faster, yielding a modest plus 5 to 8 point bump in retrieval precision on a follow-up run. Costs, average latency rose 8%, P95 to 12-15%, and storage per simple turn landed around 150 to 200 KB, while multi-step pipelines were a few hundred KB. It's a controlled setting, sandbox services, stable traffic, so expect some drift in production.
Put simply, this kind of tracing tends to save you half an hour per incident by making the evidence one click away, and it gives reviewers much clearer why behind an answer. You pay a small latency tax and some storage, but you get fewer escalations and faster fixes. Mark, what does that look like once it's live with real users and noisy systems?
In production, I'd budget a bit more overhead. 10 to 20% latency on the slowest paths if you keep everything synchronous, less if you stream logs. Storage scales fast with RAG. Think 0.5 to 1 gigabytes per 10K calls depending on context length and attachments, so set retention and compression early. The win shows up in incident response. We went from half a day to under an hour to root cause a bad answer because the trace already had the stale doc hash and the prompt version pinned. Audits stop being a scramble. You export a bundle and you're done. It's not magic. If people forget to version prompts or they run hot fixes off the books, your replay rate drops. But with a little discipline, the median investigation time falls a lot.
And to land the plane, Mark, who benefits the most from this and under what conditions?
Biggest winners, regulated teams in finance, healthcare, HR, and any org where LLM outputs trigger customer-facing actions. Also pipelines with multiple steps, retrieval, tools, human approvals, because that's where missing breadcrumbs hurt the most. You get outsized value once volume crosses a few hundred AI-assisted actions a day or when you ship model prompt updates weekly. For small teams, start skinny. Log prompt, model version, context snapshot, and sources. Add tool spans later. The moment an auditor or exec asks, "Why did it say that?" you'll be glad the traces exist.
In one sentence, this paper turns AI outputs from a mystery box into a replayable case file you can debug, trust, and audit with modest overhead if you set it up right. To finish, a quick reminder. The English version of the podcast is available via the RSS feed on nblotty.org/iadaily/en and also on Spotify. Search for ArcSieve LLM Daily EN. See you tomorrow for more AI news. Have a great day.